The Ramban, in many of his writings, speaks about the greatness and the uniqueness of Yom HaKippurim. In one of his writings, the Ramban writes that Klal Yisrael, the people of Israel on Yom Kippur, are elevated to the status of Malachi Asharis, to angels in heaven. That's an amazing statement of the Ramban. Elsewhere, the Ramban says that the mitzvah, the essence of Yom HaKippurim, is tshuva, to repent. And he says that all the karbanot that accompany our tshuva, they're all secondary. Primary is tshuva. And even without the karbanot, for example, today, that tragically we don't have the Beit HaMikdash, nevertheless, Yom HaKippurim achieves its goal if we do tshuva, even without the karbanot. Elsewhere, the Ramban writes that on this day of Yom HaKippurim, as the culmination of the 10 days of Dirshu Hashem B'Matzah, the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Aseres Metshuva, when Hashem is close to us, He reaches that pinnacle on Yom HaKippurim, in which He's so... His shefa means that the influence of Hashem is so close, is so felt, that it's the equivalent of all 10 of the spheros. If you're a little bit familiar with Kabbalah, we once mentioned in the past, there are 10 spheros, and they represent 10 different dimensions of the divine benevolence in this world as we receive it. And he says it reaches its pinnacle on Yom HaKippurim. It doesn't surprise me, therefore, that Yom HaKippurim, in the Ramban's frame of reference, it makes absolute sense, is called Shabbat Shabbaton. You know, it's on the highest level. And we desire and we crave Yom HaKippur. We really have to look forward to it. You know, people sometimes tell me that they're awestruck and they're overwhelmed with fear about Yom HaKippur. You know, the trepidation. Maybe they're worried about fasting. I don't know. But there's more to Yom HaKippurim than just being nervous about fasting and your ability to make it to the punchline, you know, the end line. That's not what Yom HaKippurim is. We have to realize that Yom HaKippurim is a tremendous day of divine closeness, of divine grace. As we'll soon see in the Ramban, it's a day that supersedes all other days in its midos, in its spheros. It's going to be really something. So what I would like to do with you now is study the Ramban in Parshas Emor. This Ramban officially addresses Rosh Hashanah, not Yom HaKippurim. But I believe that if we study the Ramban carefully, we're going to see some insights about Yom HaKippurim. So without further ado, let's get to work. Okay then? So if anybody needs a copy of the Ramban, if they come a little bit afterwards, just send them to these pages, one page. The Ramban says the following. This is in Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Chav Dalid. And it's part of a long, long piece. Midway through the piece, the Ramban addresses Rosh Hashanah. He talks about Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is called a day of Zichron Trua. And first he starts, as he always does, by quoting Rashi. And then he continues, as he always does, by pointing out that Rashi is difficult. Psukei Zichronos Upsukei Shofros. Rashi says that incorporated in this mitzvah of Zichron Trua are the psukim of Zichronos and Shofros. Can anybody already anticipate what the Ramban is going to point out here, this difficulty in Rashi? What? Obviously, Rashi left out Malchios. Lizkar Lehem Akedas Yitzchak. Through the shofar, Hashem reminds himself, so to speak, of the Akedas Yitzchak, Shekarev Tachas Ha'ayil, which was brought with the Ayil, the ram that replaced and substituted for Yitzchak at the Akeda Loshon Rashi. That's a quote from Rashi. Says the Ramban, Vayetzarech Harav, Harav refers to Rashi, Lahavi Gam Suke Amalchias Min HaMedrash. If he's quoting the Medrash Chazal, that Zichron Trua refers to those parts of the Shmoneh Esrei, the Musaf service of Rosh Hashanah, which accompany the blowing of the shofar, then he should have mentioned Malchios.
What does Malchios have to do with that Kedushin?
Correct, but look at the next line in the Ramban. He says, Shelo Yitachin, it's impossible, Sheyazkir HaKosuv, that the Torah would mention Psuki Zichronos V'Shofars V'lo Yazkir Malchios. Chazal insists that it's got to be all three. Nothing less will do. There's no reason, says the Ramban, logically, to place Malchios on a lower level than Shofros and Zichronos. They're all on the same level. They're all intertwined and integrated to form one entity together with the Shofar. Chazal always point out that we need all three. In fact, Malchios, my Rebbe used to always say this, Malchios is the Iker Shebikarim. It's the most important because the day itself is a day of Malchios. That's why in all the brachas of Rosh Hashanah, we always describe Melech al Kolaret, the God who is the King of the universe. So kingship is center, is the essence of the day, so you can't possibly drop Malchios. By the way, the Ramban is also famous for his drasha for Rosh Hashanah, which is published in Kisvei HaRav Kook, not this volume but the previous volume, and there he claims that maybe Rashi didn't mention Malchios, but he really had in mind Malchios. Rashi was only, as you say, technically mentioning Zichronos because of the pasuk Zichron. True, but even Rashi embraces both Malchios together with Zichronos and Shofros. Ukvar Darshu also Min Osam, and Chazal already derived Malchios Mipasuk from a verse. This is, I always tell my guys, this is very easy to find this verse. It's 10:10. Right? So it's in Bamidbar 10:10. And there, the Torah says, V'hayu lachem l'zikaron lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. And it's referring there, Ein tav lomar ani Hashem Elokeich, ma tav lomar ani Hashem. Why does it say I am your God? Elazeh binyan av kol makom shatem omrim zichronos atasomech lahem es hamalchios. That in that very pasuk that speaks about shofar blowing, the Torah says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am your God. And Chazal derived from that extra piece in the pasuk that whenever there's zichronos, whenever it's a zikaron with the Hashem Elokeichem, it also requires malchios. And he tells you can find this in Torah's Kohanim and in Masechta Rosh Hashanah and Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. Now here I would start a new paragraph. I would press the return button. The one thing that I don't like about Rav Chevel's printing of the Ramban, even though he did a great job, is that he doesn't always divide up the paragraphs. Maybe that's because the Ramban himself didn't always divide up the paragraph. But here I would start a new paragraph. Because now the Ramban is critiquing Rashi on a different level. By quoting Zichronos and Shofros, what does Rashi imply about this? By quoting it in the context of Zichron Truah, the mitzvah, Doraisa of Zichron Truah, what is Rashi implying about the statement, about the recitation of Zichronos and Shofros? That it's Doraisa. He says, Havel kol zas machto midivreyem. Okay, this is a very technical term here. It means that very often Chazal, the rabbis, will institute a derabbanan, an injunction, which is only derabbanan, but they'll attach it to a pasuk in Chumash. That's called an asmacht. Again, we don't have time to go into that now, but the status of such a drasha is only derabbanan. And therefore Rashi, in a sense, is misleading us by quoting Zichronos and Shofros here on the pasuk Zichron True, as if to say that they were Doraisa. Umefurish Amru, it's explicit in the Gemara. If you have two choices, do you remember this Gemara? Let's say in one city they have a great chazan. You know, they didn't have machzorim in those days that were published the way we do. So you needed a real experienced chazan to know how to recite Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. It was all by heart, by tradition. Correct? Yeah. And you have another city, but in that first city, although you have a great chazan, there's no shofar. It happens to be they don't have a shofar. In the second city, they have a shofar, but they're not reciting Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. And the Gemara says, Holchim l'makom shetokim, you choose from the two cities to daven in the place where they blow shofein, Holchim l'makom shemavarchim. And the Gemara says, Pshita, there's no question about it, because Hador Raisa, Hador Rabbanan, shofar is a mitzvah in a Torah. Malchias and Zichronis is only a mitzvah, Derabbanan. And then the Gemara gives an answer, which we're not going to get into now. Lo tzricha the afagav doha vaday vaha safek. Even in the case of the city that has a shofar, we're not sure that they know how to blow the shofar, etc., etc. And therefore, the Ramban concludes that that the recitation of Zichronos could not be included in the pasuk Zichron Trua. Zichron Trua, therefore, must reflect on the mitzvah d'oraisa of shofar. Zichron Trua could not, as Rashi would have it, reflect and express itself in the Amira of Zichronos, because the Amira of Zichronos is clearly only what? Derabbanan, and it's not d'oraisa. You with me? Okay, good. Does anybody have an answer to defend Rashi? My Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik used to always come to Rashi's defense. Eino chinami malchi zechronos shofos is d'oraisa, but there's a condition. Only if you blow the shofar. Once you blow the shofar, the Torah commands you under the pasuk zichron trua to accompany the shofar blowing with the Amira, the recitation of Malchi, Zichronos, and Shofros. The recitation of these is d'oraisa, but only if it is intertwined, if it embellishes the blowing of the shofar. In other words, according to Rashi, the full-fledged mitzvah d'oraisa of shofar has to be fulfilled by adding A plus B. A is the pasuk here in Parshas Emor of Zichron Trua, which means the recitation of Malchi, Zichron, and Shofros. B is the pasuk in Parshas Pinchas, which says Yom Trua, which means the blowing of the shofar. If you accompany the blowing of the shofar with the recitation of Malchi, Zichron, and Shofros, then and only then do you obtain the full-blasted, full-fledged mitzvah d'oraisa of shofar. It means that shofar represents a tefillah which is prayed in two different modes. Number one, in the verbal oral mode, when man uses his divinely inspired intellect to express his needs and his petition to God in intelligent, well-formulated sentences and paragraphs in Malchi Yisachar Shofros, and man expresses his aspirations, his prayers, without words, in a silent prayer. That's called shofar. Like the shepherd boy, if you remember the famous story, who goes out, he doesn't know how to daven, he's ignorant, so he takes out his flute, and he says, Almighty God, I don't know how to pray, but take the sounds of this fruit, or the flute, join them together and make a beautiful prayer out of them. That's the shofar. The shofar, my Rebbe used to always say, is like the yelp of an animal in danger, in crisis. Man feels himself overwhelmed on Rosh Hashanah Yom HaDin in crisis. He can only take the shofar and blow the shofar, letting out a kind of yelp, a kind of cry that comes from deep within. And that itself is tefillah b'libim. It's prayer without what? Without words. And embellish that with Malchi and Zichron and Shofros, and then and only then do you have the full-fledged kiyum d'oraisa. When should we recite Malchi and Zichron and Shofros then? Whenever we blow shofar, including when? Even in the silent Shmon Esrei. How many people here, just by show of hands, are familiar with that tradition that we blow the shofar even during the silent Shmon Esrei? Alright, good. Here I didn't notice it. Maybe I was so involved in my tefillah I didn't notice it. But the shofar blowing was very loud and clear. It should have woken me up, if you get the hint there. So, but my father's shul, my father of Shalom in Flatbush, he was mocked at that they blow the shofar during the Silent Shmon Esrei. That minhag has fallen to disuse amongst Ashkenazim for a very, shall I say, logistical reason. And that is that people find they're not always praying at the same pace, and all of a sudden they're like halfway through Malchus and they're blowing the shofar already. People get discombobulated. No. Says the Ramban, now that we've come to the conclusion that what does Zichron Trua mean? Blowing the shofar. So what's Zichron Trua? He says, "I will zichron shrua k'mom yom shrua yelachem." It's equivalent to the pasuk in Parashas Pinchas of yom shrua yelachem. Yomar, but it tells you, it adds shenaria biyom hazeh. Naria means to cry out of a sense of almost desperation. That's a true. Like, for example, as we said before, Bamidbar 10:10, Devhari Osim Bechatzotchus, on a day in which our enemies surround us, or there's a plague, and we're in a dire sense of a situation of crisis, Vari Osim Bechatzotchus. Have you ever heard the Chatzotchus? Do you know that this Machon, I'm not advocating in favor of it, but the Machon HaMikdash has produced what they consider to be clay Mikdash, that when the Mikdash is rebuilt, I mean, those gentlemen might actually see to it that that happens. They might be taking over the Temple Mount, but be that as it may, whatever. They have these chatzotzos. So I was once at a kenes that was declared by the Rabbanut because there were terrible things happening. I don't know if you remember a certain year, but maybe it was before you were intelligent enough to know. But anyway, the terrorists were bombing left, right, and center. It was horrible. The 18 bus and everything. So in that year, we came all to the Kotel, and they actually took out the Chatzotzros from the Chon HaMikdash, and they blew the Chatzotzros. Yeah, it was really dramatic. I mean, I thought it was a scene from the Arabian Nights, but, you know, like, I didn't know what gave them right to blow Chatzotzros. But anyway, that's what they did, as a matter of fact. Somehow the trua, because it says zichron trua, so the Rambam wants to explain those two words in a beautiful way, zichron and trua. How does he combine zichron trua? We're only referring to the blowing of the shofar. That trua will become a zikaron. That trua, in Yiddish we say oftun, will achieve a zikaron lefnei Hashem. Koshen emar la'alanu tkatem mechatzotzos v'hayu lechem lezikaron lefnei Hashem lefnei Elokeichem, that when we blow the chatzotzos, it will be a zikaron. Hashem will remember us. He will have mercy on us. Uvavur sha'om Hashem. And it says there in that pasuk, Bamidbar Yud Yud, it says, Uvayom simchas v'adeshchem utkatem bechatzotzos al oseichem al zivchei shalmeichem. So you might think that the tkia of a shofar has to be accompanied by karbanos. But Khan, therefore the Torah here in Parshas Emor omits mention of the karbanos at this point. Zichron trua, tziva betrua, stam meaning without accompaniment of karbanos. Bamoed, it reflects the essence of the Kedush Sayom. The day itself is a day of trua. Forget about the karbanos. As I told you before, the Ramban identifies the essence of the Kedushas Hayom as being independent of karbanot, whether it be Rosh Hashanah here or Yom HaKippurim elsewhere. Those days are endowed with a unique sanctity that exists regardless of whether they're accompanied by karbanos. The achrichin only psukim later does say v'kraftem ishe hine hatrua zos ena hatrua hahi. Don't identify this trua with the trua of Parshas Baloscha Bamidbar Yud Yud, because there it has to be accompanied by karbanos. This trua of Parshas Emor of Rosh Hashanah stands without karbanos. Zos einala karbon aval ichova b'chol Yisrael. And how do you fulfill this mitzvah? By blowing shofar. Shofar becomes the conduit, the means to bring a zikaron, regardless of whether he brings karbanos. Whereas there in Parshas Baloscha, the purpose of the karbon is to accompany the tekiah in order to create a zikaron. Here, the mitzvah hayom, which is engendered by the day in its sanctity, expresses itself in a tekiah without karbanos. And you'll see a second fundamental difference between Parshas Baloscha and Parshas Emor. In Parshas Baloscha, you blow chatzotzros, but here chatzotzros are completely omitted. Kilo tzivo adayin lasos chatzotzros. At this early stage in Sefer Vayikra, God has not commanded Moshe to create chatzotzros. And where does shofar come in here? It doesn't say a word about shofar here. So how can the Rabban say that Zichron Truah is referring to shofar? It doesn't say anything about shofar. Stam called Truah the shofar who? The Rabban has proofs from Chumash and from Sugyas and Shas that whenever the Torah refers to Truah, unless we know otherwise, it refers to Truah the shofar. K'moshen Nehmar, with regard to Yovel, it says Vavarta shofar Truah. But v'lo ki pireish hakosiv tam, again, press the return button. Lo pireish hakosiv tam amitzvah zos lama Truah. V'lo minitz tarich zikaron lifnei Hashem b'yom hazeh. Yosem ishara yomim. Everything is clouded in mystery. We don't know what the purpose of the Truah is. We don't know why God needs a conduit to bring about a zikaron dafka on this day. Lo miyitzav liyos mikra kodesh klal. What's the essence of the day? Every other regel has a clear-cut, explicit sanctity that's related to some event in Jewish history, whether it's Besukos or Shafti, B'nai Yisrael, whether it's Matan Torah, whether it's Yitzias Mitzrayim. But what about Rosh Hashanah? The Torah tells us on this day there's a sanctity, a Moed, a Mikra Kodesh, but what's it all about? Elos! Avol, excuse me. Mipnei Shehu B'chadasho Shal Yom HaKippurim. It's not coincidental that Rosh Hashanah is in that month of Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippurim, the Torah tells us clearly what it's all about. Lifnei Hashem Titara, it's a day of Tara and Tshuva. And Kapara is Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh, the first day of the month, always must inherently reflect something about the month itself. There's always a relationship between Rosh Chodesh as it expresses that unique nature of that particular month. In this case, the month of Tishrei is the month of Kapara and Tshuva. What would be the relationship therefore between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh Tishrei? Nirah, therefore it appears, or Nirah Lee, according to some Girsa, Shebo, on this day, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, Yedin Lefanav Yisparach. This is going to be the day of judgment. And now the Ramban has to find a clear-cut relation between judgment and Kippurim 10 days later, which obviously, if we're written down under the judgment for something, and it might not be something so pleasant, Hashem gives us the opportunity in the next 10 days to undermine that gzera, that decree. Ramaz Akosiv, again, I'm skipping because we're pressed for time here. I want to get to the next paragraph. Val Derech Emes. Does everybody have that paragraph? So again, you have to press the return button. Now, truth be told, whenever I see Al Derech Emes, something sort of clicks off because I know I won't understand it no matter what. But on the other hand, when I see Al Derech Emes, something clicks and says, hey, maybe we'll understand something. Yeah, if we can get 1% of the Ramban's Al Derech Emes and come out with something from it, I'll be more than happy. He says, Trua Hisha Amda Lavosena Velano. Does that phrase sound familiar to you? The word Trua, says the Ramban, reflects a concept that is going to maintain and sustain the Jewish people throughout all the generations. We're beginning to see that Trua is a very, very important concept. Hisha Amda Lavosena Velano. Shenemar, he quotes a pasuk in Tehillim. You remember this pasuk that we recite before the shofar blowing? Ashkenazim and Sfaradim alike, and even Yemenites. Shenemar Ashrei Ha'am Yodei Trua. What is unique about this nation? They know Trua. Ukeinyan Shekosuv Truas Milchama Ki Hashem Ish Milcham. Now, the only thing I can tell you that I understand from this whole cryptic, mystical, Kabbalistic insight here is that there's some relationship between impending doom or danger, which midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expressed in a milchama situation, which is impending doom or disaster, when lives will be lost, Rachman al-Tzan. Din. Trua relates to din. And it makes sense that the Ramban has already identified and defined the essence of Rosh Hashanah as a day of what? din, the trua is therefore the mitzvah that reflects the essence of the day. Because trua is true as din. That's why when we go out to battle, we blow a trua. Im kein yom trua yelachem, sheyia hayom litrua lanu. It will be a day of trua, meaning a day of din for us. V'chein zichron trua mikra kodesh. What's the kedusha? What's the sanctity of this day? It's zichron trua. Sheyehev zichron atrua means God in His judgment will remember us. He doesn't forget any of our actions. U'lefichachu mikra kodesh. That's why this day is sanctified, because this is absolute, infinite and unbridled din, judgment. Now I can understand, says the Ramban, why the Torah did not have to mention shofar v'lo hutzrach lahazkir shofar. There's no need for the Torah to mention shofar here, because once it says yom trua yelachem, we know that it's alluding to the shofar, because shofar is an allusion to it, is a hint at a different midah, without which din would be absolutely devastating. What's the other midah that God at chesed and rachamim, God through His midah rachamim has to somehow, by adding rachamim to din, create a combination that we could survive? Hashofar remez biyom, right? This is the day, this is integral to the day, atrua bo, the day on which is trua. So it's a day of judgment, but it's a day of shofar. Hine hu yom adin berachamim. In other words, the framework, the ambiance, the atmosphere that God sets up on this day must be one of rachamim, otherwise din would be devastating. So it's not like the case of truas milchama, where the milchama could actually be devastating. There's no shofar to offset, there's no rachamim. But on this day of din, Rosh Hashanah, this din that is, if you will, surrounded or embellished by rachamim, there was no need for the Torah to tell us that the trua of din has to be embellished by what? On both sides. By the tkia of rachamim. Now the Rambam gives us his Kabbalistic insight into what the tkia is and how it's different than the trua is pure din. And as the mid of din expresses itself to trua, that's got to be some sort of a mitigating factor that's going to kick in with rachamim. That's going to be the embellishment of the trua with what? With the tkiel of fanat, tkiel achreo. But again, that's not mentioned, because the essence of the day is the day of din. So therefore the Torah only mentions what? Trua. He says, "V'lomi yaskir akosiv trua v'lo yaskir atkios klal lo b'rosh Hashanah v'lo b'yom haKippurim." Yom haKippurim is referring to the shofar shel Yovel. There's no need to mention the tkios. Aval atkia hi azikaron v'ashofar. Now I see Rabbi Chevelle has some sort of a footnote here. You don't have that on your page, do you? No. Okay. If you had it, you would help me find it, because I don't. Avatkia, he has the current. I just want to see if he points out anything here. You see it anywhere? It should be here somewhere. Oh, here it is. Klomar romzim l'rachamim. So somehow in this zikaron process, which is God's divine judgment, nevertheless there will be rachamim. God will remember the good things. Maybe it'll be danos til kav schus. Vatrua kishma mipnei shehi. The true itself is klulam in arachamim. It's embellished by rachamim. Tkiel lefanel, tkiel achreel. Leficha chomar yodei trua. Yodei trua means we understand the trua. We become part of it. We relate to it. Ki betzdaka yarumu. Ki teferes uzomawata. Another pasuk in Tehillim, I believe. And that pasuk indicates that God will act towards us with tzedakah, and He will elevate us. Vehine, now we understand what is the essence of the day, and what is our obligation through this act of trua. Zemavur, please underline the next four words. Ki akol tolui b'tshuva. Everything depends upon tshuva. In other words, the fact that these days of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are not pure din, but there's an element of rachamim, that itself proves that God is going to mitigate our harsh sentence because of our tshuva. So Rabbo said, what must we do on these days, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Tshuva is an absolute requirement. Leave the karbanos out, the shofar is going to arouse us, but at the end of the day we have to do tshuva. So what then is the difference between the tshuva and the sanctity of Rosh Hashanah on the one hand, and the tshuva and the sanctity of Yom Kippur on the other hand? And here I would underline this. The Rabbat says the following. There's a very profound sentence of the Rabbat. I don't know if we'll be able to fathom it. He says, "Ela Rosh Hashanah misyached b'midas hadin umani golomo." Rosh Hashanah, God focuses His entire energy on din, and that's how He relates to the world. Ubiyom HaKippurim b'midas harachamim. The Huma Maram, and this is what the Chazal had in mind in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah when they stated Melech Yoshev al Kisei Din. And why is he also Yoshev al Kisei Rachmi Rosh Hashanah? He sits on the Kisei Din. And here I would underline this: Rosh Hashanah, says the Ramban, is Yom Din Birachamim. It's primarily Yom Din, but it's mitigated by rachamim. Yom HaKippurim is rachamim, yom rachamim bidim. It's just the opposite. It's a day that's essentially rachamim. It's kiruv, it's ava, it's the love of Hashem. It's God relating to the world in every level, in every dimension, but bidin, relating to the din of Rosh Hashanah. So there's got to be some sort of corresponding relationship here between din and rachamim. But fundamentally, the Ramban identifies Yom HaKippurim as a day of what? A day of rachamim. He calls it rachamim bidin. Towards the end of the Ramban, he says, "Vayhi bishurim melech v'sasi rosh hayom yachad v'aser sayom shebein rosh hashanah yom hakippurim yirmos li eser sfiros ki biyom hakippurim yis'ala b'hem." On Yom Kippur, God is elevated through the 10th level, the highest level of the Eser Sfiros, Vayigba Hashem Tzvokos Bamishpat, Ki Yodua VeKabbalah, as we all know, as we all study Kabbalah VeGam, Yesh Bazeh Os, Bashamayim Shachodesh Hazeh Mazol Maznayim. This month of Tishrei, of both Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, is the month of Maznayim, of the scales. Kibo Faleis Umaznei Mishpat Lashem, Peles Umaznei Mishpat Lashem. So we have to dedicate ourselves on Yom HaKippurim, the day of Ava, the day of Rachamim, not Chas V'Shalom, to lose this great golden opportunity of tshuva. Hashem is close. He wants a relationship with us. We have to use this day to do tshuva, not only miyura, but also the ava, out of a sense of love of Hashem. Kimayim panim el panim. If Hashem loves us, then we in response love Him. Which means that we do things not because of ourselves, but in order to be megadol kvodo yisbarach, yisgadol v'yiskadash. And the key of keys is zochreinu l'chayim l'man chalo kimcha. If we dedicate ourselves sincerely on Yom HaKippurim to l'man chalo kimcha, that we want life, not just physical life, not just long life, and not just healthy and financially secure life, but we want life which is l'man chalo kim, then Hashem says that your desire, your craving for life is a life in which you're an Eved Hashem. You love the King. You want His will with a capital H and a capital W to be fulfilled in every single step that you take. In every action, in every thought, in every manner of speech. That's the Kiddush Hashem, that's the Gidol, the Romus Shei Shemayim, that we're going to recite on Yom HaKippurim, Ki Anu Mamirecha. Do you remember the Ramban's shita of mamirecha legadol es Hashem, to bring rovus and gedulah to Hashem. If that's the way we dedicate our energies and every thought and everything that we do in life, then we know that we are mamirecha, and therefore in turn you will choose us. There'll be a quid pro quo relationship. The Ava will reach its fruition if only we take this opportunity into our hands. Lolifas face, don't let it sink through like sand between our hands, but rather grab the bull by its horn to take out of Yom HaKippur the maximum. It's the best day of the year, I'm telling you. It's a golden opportunity. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. It's Ava. It's pure Ava from Hashem. We're living on a level that's beyond our comprehension. My Rebbe Zichron Levracha loved Yom HaKippur so much that never, when he lost it, he had both Parkinson's disease and Hodgkin's disease. They couldn't get him to eat on a weekday because he says, "Height is Yom Kippur." He took Yom Kippur with him for every day of his life. And when he was very sick, before he lost it, he was out to lunch for 8 years, but before that, then the doctor says he's got to eat on Yom Kippur. He couldn't get himself to eat. He felt it was like seeing the Churban HaBayis in front of his eyes. He was Ish Yom HaKippurim. Yom HaKippurim defined his essence. He longed for it. He craved for it because that close, intimate Ava relationship, that revelation of Shechina, of pure Rachamim and Chesed and Ava of Yom HaKippur. He wrote to me by his will that on this day we will not miss the Ikar for the Tofer. Forget about the fasting. Forget about anything else. The Korbanos even. What we have to focus on is Tshuva the Ava, and then we'll all be Zochem B'dinim Yitzhak Hashem, for ourselves, for our families, for the community of Klal Yisrael all over the world, especially in our show, we need it so desperately. Hey, your atzon. I hope it was okay. Shalom Aleichem, by the way. Are you a friend of this guy?
Good friend.
Well, then you're a friend of mine.